Okay, you're on air.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is John Bozeman. I'm one of your United States Senators. This is a live call, and by pressing zero, you'll have an opportunity to talk live and ask me anything that you'd like to. I'm going to talk a second a little bit about what we're doing. And then, again, if you'd like to get in line, have a comment or just ask any questions. We don't screen these. It's just whoever pops up first. But the idea of this is for us to communicate to you and you to communicate to us about what's on your mind, what's going on in Arkansas. So one of the things that we're working on right now is at the Veterans Affairs Department. We have a new secretary, Robert Wilkie. I believe he was sworn in today. We just confirmed him. We're excited about that. It's been a while since the Veterans Department has had an official leader. He's a person that I've had the opportunity to work with. I think he's going to be quite good. And again, I look forward to working with him in the future. The thing about veterans, that's not a Democrat or Republican issue. That's an issue that we all take very, very seriously. It's about making sure that the veterans get the benefits that they're entitled to. Now, again, if you'd like to ask a question or have a comment, just press zero, and that'll get you in line, and we'll go from there. One other thing that we're working on really hard before we get to that phase is the ag bill. Every 5 years we reauthorize the big bill that puts the safety nets in place that allows our farmers to be able to go to the bank and borrow the money that they need, because we have a safety net, kind of an insurance program that allows the farm community to be able to operate. And so we're working hard to get a bill that's fair to farmers and make sure that we're using the taxpayers' dollars very, very wisely, which is certainly most important. In the next week or so, I'll be traveling across the state doing an agriculture tour. Every year we do this in August, and we visit with the people that grow the crops. Sometimes we visit with the people that take those crops and value add them, make them into different products. And so we'll be all over the state talking to cattle producers, poultry producers, our row crops that grow. We're blessed in Arkansas, can grow about everything. And again, just getting the perspective as to what's going on and how we can be more helpful to the agricultural community. In Arkansas, it's about 25% of our economy. And yet in much of Arkansas, it's more like probably 85 or 90% in our rural areas. So it's very, very important. Again, if you'd like to ask a question or have a comment for us, punch zero and that'll get you in line, and we'll start the process. So let's go to our first caller. Are you there? Hold on just a second. We got a little technical glitch going on right now. So we're still on the line, and like I say, in a little bit, we're going to get this started. As you know, as you get into these technology where we're able to literally talk to thousands of people at one time, sometimes we run into some problems with the person, the group that actually makes all of this work. So besides the Farm Bill, we're working really hard on the appropriations process. And what that means is every year, our fiscal year starts in October. It's not like some businesses that start in January. We start in October, and the fiscal year is almost up. Here we are into August, And so we're working very hard to get our appropriations bills in place so that we don't have these big old giant spending bills at the end of the year. What we're trying to do is separate them out into two or three spending bills at a time. I'm the chairman of the Veterans Affairs Military Construction Subcommittee, so we have jurisdiction over spending all of those dollars. We combined with the energy and water appropriations, and so we were able to pass that bill in the Senate. The House passed the bill also, so now we're in conference working hard to get those dollars assigned again, always being very, very responsible as to how we spend those dollars in a way that protects taxpayer money. We were also blessed here recently to be recognized for doing our best regarding constituent service. I'm blessed. We've got a good staff. Certainly, if anything comes up that you're having problems with, if you or a friend is having troubles with things like veterans problems, disability, IRS problems, health problems with Medicare, Medicaid problems, any of these government programs, be sure and let us know, and we'll be glad to do our best to talk to the agency, see if we can work out the problem. Now, let's go to our first caller. Are you there?
Yeah, my name is Lou Felix. Senator, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you fine.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you. I live in Mammoth Spring, and I enjoy all of your emails and et cetera. I have two things I'd like to bring
up. Sure.
The first is it's not peculiar just the federal, it's more state. But I'm very interested in getting Arkansas on board with the Convention of States, Article 5 Convention, to straighten out a few things in the Constitution. Are you familiar with what's going on in the state? And
yes, sir.
Do you support that?
Yes, sir. I'm familiar with what's going on in the state somewhat. But a good friend of mine, Tom Coburn, a former senator from Oklahoma, I know is working hard in that direction and trying to help organize that effort all over the country.
Right. The main thing that I have an interest in, it seems like our last hope to get the federal government out of so many things that they've gotten into through all misinterpretation of the Commerce Clause and that type of thing. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to having that.
No, very good. And like I say, I'm all over the state, and I'll be glad to relay, you know, the fact that you aren't interested as so many others. As you point out, the federal government is into a lot of things that our founding fathers never intended us to be into. And then the other thing I think
exactly.
That would be helpful with that sort of situation, if it came about, would be controlling spending. And we desperately need a balanced budget amendment, just like almost all of our states have. What that would do is force the federal government to get itself back on track in regarding to being much more fiscally responsible.
Right, exactly. The other thing along those lines, do you know if there's a move within the Senate or the House to straighten out all the people that are on disability that we all know is just a scam? And
well,
one
of the things that we're trying to do, and do this in a responsible way, is to, those that need help, making sure that if they're if they're single and able-bodied, that there's work requirements with various programs. And we're trying to do that in the Farm Bill right now. That's one of the things that we're working very hard to get done. The House has significant requirements. The Senate bill has has some requirements. We're trying to marry the two together in conference. I know the governor, you know, is with Medicaid, has put some work requirements in place. So I think all of those are good things. The other thing, as you point out, is that there are people that are gaming the system, and we simply, you know, can't put up with that. And so we are trying to you know, eliminate some of the waste and fraud that goes along with this.
Well, that's wonderful. Anybody that needs it, I'm 100% let them have it. But people that are just a way not to do anything and collect money from the government, I don't have much use for, and I'd like to see them removed, you know, from the rolls, you know.
No, I don't disagree, and I think the vast majority, if we were doing a poll tonight, the vast majority of people would agree with that. The problem is that really a couple things, you know, those dollars, instead of going to people that actually need it, you know, are going to people that are gaming the system, so it's less money for those that are actually in need. The other thing is that it makes it such that we lose confidence in the programs. So, you know, if you're around people that are gaming the system and not doing what they're supposed to, then you have a tendency to think very negatively of the program. And there are people that genuinely are in need, and we need to help. Everybody agrees with that. So for lots of different reasons, we do need to get the programs back in shape. And again, I think the vast majority of the American public agree with that, and certainly the president does, and he's pushing hard in that direction also.
Yeah, the last thing along that line, Senator, it erodes the good citizens into saying, hey, I'm not going to be the dummy anymore. I'm going to jump on the gravy wagon.
Yeah,
and
no, that's
the sad part. We lose good citizens.
Sure. No, I don't disagree at all. I appreciate you taking the time to call, and appreciate your comments
very much.
Well, thank you, sir.
I appreciate you, what you're doing in Washington.
Well, thank you, sir, very, very much. Thanks for taking the time. Okay, good questions, good comments. Let's go to our next caller. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, punch zero. Just punch a zero, and that gets you in line. And then from that group, we're just taking whoever pops up. And so let's go right now. Are you there?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, my very is finished now. I work and my very down. Can I call you back?
Sure.
Maybe tomorrow?
Yes, that would be fine. Just
okay.
Call the office.
Thank you.
Okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Now, let's go to our next caller. And are you there? How about
yes, sir.
Ma'am? Yes, ma'am.
I'm old. I realize that not many people care about us, but
I'm pretty old too.
Well, there are a lot of us around.
I care about you.
Well, I appreciate that. Why is it that Arkansas is the only state who does not have protection for renters? We have to live in public housing because we got no money and a small income. But we rent one of these apartments, and when we complain about anything, they tell us we can move.
Sure. So are you living in a government-subsidized housing unit?
Yes, sir, I am, and
okay.
Have been for 18 years.
Okay, let me give you a number to call, and if you would, we'd be glad to look into it for you and get you to give us permission to ask questions on your behalf. And
okay.
I think who I'd like for you to call is the Fort Smith office. Let me give you the phone number, okay? You ready?
Uh-huh.
479-573-0189. So 479-573-0189. Ask for Kathy. Just explain the situation. Tell her that we talked, and I said for you to give her a call. And what she'll do is get the, you know, the specifics as to what's going on, and then get you to email or fax or whatever, just a written thing saying it's okay, John, to ask questions on my behalf, and then we'll be glad to look into it and see exactly what we can do, see how we can be of help.
Okay, but it would really be nice to have legislation passed that gave us some voice.
Well, I think there probably is some, if it is a federal housing situation, and I'm not sure about the state. You know, we're dealing with the stuff that happens in Washington, but generally there's a federal component to these things. And so, like I say, we'd be glad to try and figure out how we can be helpful and see if we can push your complaints along where you get some relief.
Okay.
So
we
it'd be great.
Thank
so,
you, and I would like you to know that we voted for you.
Oh, I appreciate that. But listen, call the number for
again.
Me. Well, I appreciate that. But again, this is really important. You're not the only one, you know, in this situation, I'm sure. So we would be glad to be helpful. So give us a call, and we'll work on that. And I'm just sorry that you're having troubles.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
You have a
Take
great
care.
Night.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to our next caller. Again, lots of different issues, lots of different problems. As you can tell, we don't screen the calls. It's whoever pops up. If you'd like to ask a question, punch 0, and that will get you in line. And then from that, we will go from there. Okay, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir.
Yes. To start off, I live in Arkansas in Marion County, and I got discharged out of the military back in 1974. I was injured there during and being a Vietnam era war vet. I was told when I got discharged from the military is because President Nixon dropped the draft and started pulling the boys out of Southeast Asia. Well, 1978, I get a harebrained idea to go Army Airborne, but they wouldn't take me, but they wouldn't tell me why. So I just let it go, and in 2013, I went to buy a house through the VA, the Veterans Administration, and long story short, I went through four VSO, Veterans Service Officers, in Marion County, Arkansas.
Okay.
And the first one looked at my discharge papers from the military from May 31st, 1974, and he said I was discharged out of the military because of a medical discharge, which I did get injured in there.
Okay.
But then they turn around and file, and I'm drawing now a non-service-connected pension from the VA. And I researched and went back to all three military bases plus all the VA hospitals that I had been to and gathered up as much information as I can. Now, at 64 years old, I've been drawing Social Security disability since I was 56. I had worked construction for 30 years, and if you're used to bringing in anywhere between $2,000 to $3,000 a month, and now you're down to around $1,300 a month, and it is really concerns me that all my military and VA records show that I was hurt in the military, discharged out of the military on a medical discharge, but never did get a service-connected pension. I filed it when I found out about it in 2013. And all 4 to 5 VSO or Veteran Service Officers in Marion County, Arkansas, either didn't care, misfiled it, didn't file it at all, or screwed it up altogether.
Sure.
And
well,
I wrote to senators, and they said that they cannot intervene on my part. Now, I want to find out who can help me get my service-connected pension and get this mess straightened out.
Well, let me give you a number to call. You got a pencil?
Go ahead.
Okay, it is Hold on just a second. 479-725. Yes, sir. 479-725.
725.
0400. So 725-0400.
That's 479-725-0400.
Yes, sir. Ask for Missy.
Missy?
Yes. Okay. And again, she'll ask you for she'll ask you for permission, written permission for us to ask questions on your behalf, and we'll be glad to do our best to find out what the deal is.
All right, I appreciate that very, very much, because this has been going on way too long. In my opinion, when I got discharged out of the Air Force, May 31st, 74, they should have told me I'm being discharged on a medical discharge and was giving me a pension, a service-connected pension, instead of the Colonel Frank B. McKenzie telling me that I'm being discharged orders of President Nixon that's started pulling the boys out of Southeast Asia, Cambodia,
sure.
Laos, Thailand, and North and South Vietnam. They just all lied to me. And I found out about this by accident when I went to buy a VA house, house through the VA. And now I've been fighting with them since 2013, after I found out that the discharge was not correct. And I've been getting roadblocks from everybody, and nobody seems to give a crap.
No, I understand, and I know it's frustrating. And so, like I say, we'd be glad to ask questions on your behalf and see if we can see what the deal is. We appreciate your service very, very much.
Thank you, sir. And I had five uncles that was in Vietnam and Korea. My stepdad was in Korea, and my father-in-law was in Korea, drafted in 50, fighter pilot, Korea and Vietnam, 17 years. Got shot down in Vietnam. He got out after 17 years, and he was a major. And you know, to believe it or not, he does not receive any kind of a military pension or a VA pension. And he's in his 80s. And I don't understand. That don't make no sense that our government allows makes us go to fight a war like Vietnam that we never even should have been in. And 58,000 American lives were destroyed. Not only the boys died, but their families was destroyed because the federal government and the CIA just wanted to get rich off of it.
Sure.
And I think it's a bunch of crap myself.
Well, like I say, we'll be glad to figure out what the deal is and see if we can get you an explanation, see if we can get you some help. Okay?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time, and you all have a good anybody
well,
out there that's listening, y'all have a good evening.
Well, thank you, sir. And again, thank you for your service very, very much.
Appreciate it.
Okay, let's go to our next caller. And again, I'm John Bozeman, one of your senators, and we're talking about a variety of different issues, a variety of different problems that have come up. So if you'd like to give a comment or a question, punch 0. And that'll get you in line. And then from that, we'll be able to, go from there. So, like I said, just punch 0. Tonight, we've had a number of different issues that have come up, which, as you can tell, we don't screen the calls. It's just kind of whoever jumps in there. So, let's go from there.
Right. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Well, we lost that one. Let's see if we can get to the next one. As you can see.
Hello? Yes. Sir.
Yes. Go ahead, sir.
I served in Vietnam 1971-72.
Well, we appreciate your service very much. What branch were you in?
I was in the Navy. I was on board the USS Midway.
Very good.
31.
Sure.
All right, now. My heart sank when I saw the duck sink in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, yeah,
I
sure.
I have an idea that could save lives and the duck industry, and I have been trying to get someone to show my prototype. It's like a car airbag. In an emergency, all you just pull the pin, hit the plunger. When the hatches open up downward, they give a little upward thrust, and then the heavy Kevlar airbags come out.
I see. Very good.
It will not sink. But it'll save lives and thousands of jobs.
Right, very much. So are you wanting to get in contact with somebody regarding that, or have you got...
I have talked to, tried to talk to NTSB. I have talked to some lieutenant in the Coast Guard. No one from the Ducks will return my calls or Ripley's. I've called Channel 10 News in Springfield, and they haven't called me back either, sir.
Right.
I didn't get any bureaucratic runaround.
Sure.
And all I need is 15 minutes to show them my prototype.
Sure. Well, let me do this. Let me give you a number to call, and we'll see if we can get all of your information and see if we can figure out somebody that we can find that would take the time to listen. Are you ready? You got a pencil?
Yes, sir.
479-725-0400. And yes, and ask for Stacy.
Stacy, right.
Okay. So 725-0400 with 479 in front.
Yes,
and we'll go from there. That certainly was a tragedy, Gus.
Yes, sir, it was. My heart bleeds for everybody. But
mm-hmm.
I know water safety. I've been running the White River here for over 40 years and have never had an incident.
Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm. In fact, right. 7 years ago, a man had a heat stroke. I knew exactly what to do because I was a volunteer fireman. My mother
sure.
was EMT. Dad was the assistant chief in Salesville, Arkansas. I live in Norfolk.
Oh, okay, yeah. Beautiful country.
Oh, it is. And that
very
River
much.
Is a dangerous river.
It is if you don't know what you're doing, for sure. And
sure. Well,
so, yeah.
Yeah, 2 days after the duck went down, a 64-year-old resident of Arkansas here, must have didn't have whatever, he fell out of his boat. He was wearing a life jacket, but he still drowned.
Oh, goodness.
Well, that current runs pretty fast.
Sure.
He got
sure.
hung up on something and couldn't get off.
Right, right. Well,
but
that's
sir,
another tragedy. But I appreciate it.
What is a good time to call, Stacy?
Just tomorrow would be fine.
Tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And
you're very welcome. Thank you for calling in. Okay, let's go to our next caller. Again, if you'd like to, if you got a question or a comment or a problem, just punch 0 and we'll go from there. Are you there?
Senator Bozeman, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I have two questions. One, what's the status of the Blue Water Act?
Well, it's interesting, you know, that the caller that just called in mentioned that he was in Vietnam and on the Midway and served off the coast of Vietnam. I thought that's what he was calling about. And right now we're in a situation where there's been, significant movement on it. We're going to, I've been a co-sponsor for several years. But in the House, we have had good movement on it, and so the Senate is starting to bring it up, and we're going to go from there.
Yes, sir.
We actually have a
Water Act.
Well, we actually have a.
In effect.
I'm sorry. We actually have a Senate committee hearing this week, I believe, on Wednesday. And we'll be talking about this specific thing. And for our, you might want to tell, or let me just tell our listeners what has happened with that. And Agent Orange, which was used as a herbicide during Vietnam and really used very indiscriminately just all over the place, as a result, it has produced all kinds of very, very serious injuries, some of which happened very quickly, some of which happened, all of your life as you get older. And so we've just seen some horrible complications as a result of this use. And many of the people like yourself who served off the coast were handling it, were unloading it, and then, too, as they sprayed the coast, then the drift caught them. So it's something that really has affected our Navy also.
Yes.
So like I said, I was just kind of updating some of our listeners to let them know what we were talking about, but... But, yeah, I think we've had significant movement, and it's something that we're working on hard.
All right. Then I have one other quick question.
Yes, sir.
I've been working towards getting a disability because of Agent Orange, and the last time that I contacted my representative here in Carroll County,
uh-huh.
I filed a new claim, and the claim went in, they denied it, and I appealed it, and it's going to take 3 years for an appeal. Why? Why 3 years?
Well, the problem is that a few years ago, you know, to the Veterans Affairs Department, to their credit, they really extended what was covered under Agent Orange. So as a result, you had this tremendous number of claims that came in concerning it. And so that's produced a situation like you're talking about. I think the backlog, though, should be down much lower than that right now. I can't tell you exactly, but we provided a lot of funding, you know, for them to have the resources that they need to get that under control. But if you'd like, you know, if you'd like to call the office, if you haven't dealt with us, we'd be glad to see if we could get an update on where you're at right now in the process.
I would appreciate that.
Okay. Let me give you this number then. It's 479-725-0400. And if you would call Missy at that office, she'll visit with you. She'll ask you for permission to, you know, make inquiries on your behalf, and then we'll go from there. So 479-725-0400, and you're very welcome. And again, thank you so much for your service to your country.
Thank you for your service.
Well, we're trying. We're doing our best. Thank you. Okay, let's go to our next caller. Again, lots of different problems and comments tonight. So if you'd like to get in line, punch zero, and we're just doing these as they come up, trying to get as many people as we can as we visit tonight about some of the stuff that's going on in the country. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I have a, number one, I have a comment and a thank you for working on getting people to work. We have too many people who have fallen through the cracks who are in an entitlement society, and they honestly think that we, the people, should provide them a living. And it goes on generation after generation. An example is that, did you know, I didn't, that if you are addicted to marijuana, that you can draw disability, Social Security, because you can't keep a job because you're addicted to drugs? To me, that's wrong.
No, I don't have any problems
with
that.
I happen to know someone who did that. Pardon me?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there's talk of actually drug testing people before they're able to get benefits.
Absolutely.
And so, again,
absolutely.
I don't have any problems with those things.
That.
So, sure.
Please,
you know, it's,
support that. And the, oh, go ahead.
Like I said, I don't have any problems with that at all. But the other thing is, it's a great opportunity for us right now because the economy, with the tax cuts and other things, really is heating up right now. Unemployment is very, very low throughout the country. And so it's a great opportunity to get some people that have not been working, you know, that haven't been able to find work in the past or really not wanted to work perhaps, but to get them the skills, get them a job where they can actually have a living wage. And as you know, it's not only not contributing to society and being in that situation, but there's something instinctively good about working, and it's good for the individual. It is good for society, and so this is a great opportunity for us as a country. Governor Hutchison, the federal government, working together with our states, we're working hard to try and get the training programs in place that would allow people to enter the workforce. And there's all kinds of opportunity for them right now. That's a good thing. We need to take advantage of that. It'll help the economy, but it also will help these individuals get back and get them in the workforce and make them productive, and then all of the good things that come about as a result of that.
Absolutely. And I have one other thing that I'd like to ask you about.
Yes, ma'am. Sure.
In the last election, President Trump ran on the premise that he was going to build a wall and that Mexico was going to pay for it. Well, obviously, we see that is not going to happen. And now he says he is willing to shut down the government if we do not build a wall. We never agreed to build a wall. He proposed a wall with Mexico paying for it, not us. I believe, like you, that we need a balanced budget. We cannot afford to go into debt and build a wall. We must use our resources more effectively.
Well, I guess I would say that it's important that we secure the border. And really what he's talking about in terms of building a wall is fencing. It's electronic equipment to allow people to detect. It's drones, you know, unmanned surveillance, little aircraft, things like that.
I apologize for interrupting you. I don't care what type of wall it is, whether it's a redwood, a steel, or a glass. We cannot afford to build a wall. We have a terrible deficit. And he is threatening to shut down the government, to not pay our service members, to not pay our public employees so that he can blackmail people. That's all that is. This is horrible.
I don't think we can afford not to have border security and protect ourselves. When I was growing up, you could be a carpenter, you could be a butcher. Those were jobs where you could make a living wage. Right now, because of all of the cheap labor that streamed across the border from illegal immigrants and things, those are minimum wage jobs, if that. So we do need to protect the borders. We need to know who's coming here. We need to know who's going out, coming in. There's a drug war that's raging in Mexico. We don't want that spilling across the border. We're a nation at war. And so besides illegal immigration, there's all kinds of reasons that we need to, you know, have some protection on the border. So that's really what it's all about. And I do think it's important for those reasons, you know, that you can't have an open border. And that's in some areas, the areas that President Trump's targeted, the areas that Homeland Security has targeted are the biggest trafficked drug areas and the biggest trafficked human trafficking areas on the border. And so, you know, you mentioned the problem that we've got with drugs, with marijuana. Now that marijuana is becoming legal in much of the United States, the Mexican drug cartels have turned to this really high-grade meth that's very, very cheap and heroin, and are starting to, in great numbers, push that across the United States border. So there's lots of reasons to do it. We need to do it in such a way that it's economically sound, but I do think it is something that we need to get done.
Well, I have to disagree with you. I'm sorry. We need to protect our borders. We do not need to build a wall. Yes, we need to protect our borders. We have military. We have people that we can hire to protect our borders. That gives jobs. I agree. We need that. We must secure our borders. I agree with that. But
right.
I don't agree that I have to build the wall. There's other ways.
Well, I think it's a combination of all of that. And really, when he talks in terms of building the wall, that's really what he's talking about in terms of people. He's got the National Guard down there now, which is an expensive proposition. But he's got the National Guard down there now. He's got a lot of electronic surveillance down there. So, you know, it's just a combination of all that. So, but...
So are you willing to shut down the government for the wall?
No, we're not going to shut down the government. The president is That's the way of him saying that.
I'm certainly glad to hear that.
No, I don't think that's correct. You know, the correct way to approach that at all. And in past government shutdowns, I haven't, you know, I haven't gone along with that at all. I didn't think it was, you know, the last time we had a shutdown was over a demand regarding immigration, you know, that we passed an immigration bill. And so that was, as you say, you know, that's people trying to hold other people hostages. And it is a worry for those that are on fixed incomes and all of those kind of things, you know, if you're going to get your Social Security check and all of that. So I understand exactly what you're saying. I don't agree with that. But I do agree very, very much that we need to do whatever it takes to maintain order on the border. That's really what it's all about.
Absolutely. I agree with that. But the wall won't do it. Did you ever hear of a tunnel? They have tunnels all along the border. So you can have a wall on top, and you have a tunnel going right under it. So how does the wall close the tunnels?
Well, again, like I said, it's not just a fencing apparatus. It's roads. It's all kinds of electronic surveillance. They've got drones now that can fly the line of the border and see many, many miles into the interior. So, you know, it's not going to be perfect. You know, you do the best you can do. But certainly, if you don't have border security, then, as I said, you've got human smuggling, you've got the drug trafficking, you've got not protecting the, you know, hardworking Americans regarding their wages. And the list goes on and on. So it's something that I think we need to do as a nation again. Yeah. So I appreciate you calling.
And I appreciate your time and your patience. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, let's go to our next caller. Again, lots of good questions and comments and, you know, concerns about the border, concerns about the expense, and, you know, certainly all of those things are legitimate. And the other thing that the last caller talked about that was very important was putting Americans back to work. And that's something that we've got to do a better job of, providing the skills, providing the incentives so that we break a generational thing. And we've got a great opportunity to do that right now because of very, very low unemployment. Okay, let's go to our next caller. Are you there?
Hello.
You're there.
Hi. I would like to respond to that lady. I had another question, but I would really like to respond to the last lady, if at all possible.
Sure. It's very possible.
My husband retired from the Army after 22 years in the Army. I am a retired Department of the Army civilian where I've served 30 years. We lived all over the world. Our last assignment and my last was in Fort Bliss, Texas, which is on the El Paso-Mexico border. And it gets, until people live in an area and see what it's like and see the drug cartel, and this lady talks about, you know, paying these people because they're on drugs. Yeah, those drugs are coming across here like crazy and getting our kids addicted. I wish they could just see what the drug cartel are like, what the MS-13 are like. If you ever lived, I hate to just get started. I'm very passionate about this. I still have a daughter, a granddaughter, and a great-granddaughter that live there. My granddaughter will not take my great-granddaughter baby out by herself unless her husband, because human trafficking, they steal these babies, they do all these things. And see, the American people, they don't get the true story and what it's really like, and it's really frustrating to me. And this isn't a reason at all that I call, but she got my blood pressure up. But
whatever the cost,
fraud going on, and I want to tell you, I, as a Department of the Army civilian, I worked for the Director of Logistics, and we had a lot of contractors. And I want to tell you, the money that I saw, and I was very lucky, I was able to save our Fort Bliss over $500,000 on a project because the contractors are rubbing us robbing us blind. There's so much fraud out there, and there's so much everything. And once, I don't understand either why you guys sit up there and nothing is getting done. It is so frustrating. Nothing is getting done. That's all I have.
No. But like I said, you know, right now we're in a situation where we're passing a farm bill. We passed the tax cuts, first time in 30 years that had been done. It stimulated the economy tremendously. We have really backed off on the regulatory atmosphere in this country tremendously. That's another reason that the economy is doing so very well. We got a Supreme Court judge in place, Gorsuch, who's doing a great job of not creating laws and creating policy, but trying to follow the law as it was written by the people that wrote it. We've got another judge in queue that we're going to get done sometime late September into October. That's another very positive thing. So the list goes on and on. So I think we actually are getting a lot of things done.
Okay, one other thing, I was going to ask, you know, and she's talking about people getting Social Security and all kinds of stuff because they're addicted to drugs. My question is, when they are in jail, do they continue to get Medicaid? Do they continue to get their welfare checks and all that kind of stuff? How is that tracked? How do we know? Does that stop? Because we know of an instance where several people have just been caught and put to jail, and we know that they are on social programs. Does that get stopped?
Yes, ma'am, that gets stopped. Now, in regard to health care, I don't know if they stay on Medicaid or not, but then somebody picks up the tab, and so either the county or the state, or if they're in a federal penitentiary, like I say, somebody does, if they get sick, they have a doctor and somebody pays for that. But as far as being on the social programs, welfare and things like that, they're not entitled to anything while they're in prison.
Yeah, I understand that you're helping them, but I was talking about Medicare disability where they're just getting...
No, not at all. And I would encourage you, go down to your county jail, go down to the state prison, and life's pretty tough in those places.
I know, my daughter...
Rightfully so. I mean, I'm not saying that as a negative, but okay. For the most part, there's not a lot of coddling of prisoners.
Okay, yeah. My daughter works for a federal prison, I know. Anyway. Okay, sir. Well, thank you so much for your time.
No. And I agree with you totally on the border. Thank you for giving us the personal opinion. My mother grew up in Brownsville. I've been going down to the border for a long time. And sadly, it's changed so much, as you say. It's a dangerous place. And with all of the things that you describe. And so that's, as you point out, we need to secure the border. And I think I heard perhaps your husband or somebody else in the background say whatever it cost. And I'm with them. Like I say, this is a basic, we do a lot of things in the federal government that we shouldn't be doing. But one of them that we clearly need to be responsible for is our borders, our security. And so this is a national security matter along with lots of other things, and so we're working hard to get that done.
Well, if she thinks that the border should not be paid for by the American people, she needs to take a trip down there and live for a while.
No, I appreciate that very, very much. Well, thank you so much. And then the other thing is thank you for your service in the civilian workforce, and then for your husband for his service in the military. We appreciate that very, very much.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, let's go to our next caller. Again, lots of good questions and comments tonight about a variety of different issues. And if you've got a question or comment that you'd like to jump in, just punch 0, and we're doing our best to work through these and get as many callers as we can possible. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, I have a question, a general question, and then I have some comments about Trump. Okay, this is like a totally different topic. How many abortion mills are open in Arkansas today?
I really don't know, to be honest with you. I don't think there's, hardly probably one or two.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Okay.
There's not very many.
That's wonderful. Okay, and the next thing is, I just wanted to make a little comment. When I was in Mountain Home the other day, there was a woman standing on the street corner at the stoplights, and this is the sign that she carried. She said, they lied about Jesus, they lie about Trump. They killed Jesus, they want to kill Trump. I can't believe that just because he was elected right away the first day, they want to kill him and burn cars. And I mean, I wouldn't want to be a member of a political party that reacts that way in a free country, we live in a free country. Okay, today I got in the mail 21 type pages of, it's about the most comprehensive compilation of Trump's first year achievements. And I got it by dialing. It's free. It's 21 full type pages of all that he's done so far, draining the swamp, they call it. I mean, I call it. And so if you dial 1-888-988-1588, they will send you what I just got in the mail today. Okay, let's see. And also, the saying goes, our freedom, we're going to lose it if we don't use it. And that woman with that sign on the street corner, she was using her freedom. We need bumper stickers no matter what it takes. We need to speak out. We're going to lose our freedom if we don't use it and have the courage and the wisdom. And that's what I want to thank the members of our country. I wrote it down here. I want to express my gratitude to all of the citizens of our land who had the fortitude to elect the president we have in office today. This man is keeping our country sovereign. And the 21 pages, I haven't read them yet because I just got it in the mail, but he's really doing an incredible job. They're really, the people who hate our country and evidently hate him, they are really upset because he got in there and he's doing a job like sent from heaven. I mean, he's putting his foot down and making, he's a man that he's strange and he's different and he knows what he's doing. I think he's guided by the Holy Spirit to keep our country free. Okay,
are in a situation now where again, because of getting rid of all the unnecessary regulation that we have, and we need regulation, but we don't need regulation for regulation's sake. The economy with the tax cuts is picking up. Just lots of positive. I mentioned the Supreme Court judges, and the list does go on and on in regard to getting some things done. Another caller mentioned, the terrible problem that we're having with drugs, and we're trying to push out a lot of treatment programs and things like that to be healthy with that. This opioid addiction is truly a national problem in the sense that it's the leading cause of death, accidental death in young people. The list just goes on and on. So lots of stuff getting done, lots of positive stuff. I agree with you about us expressing our opinion, and that's so important. And then the other thing to do, and you've done it tonight, you can disagree without being disagreeable. And fight it out on the facts rather than getting personal, which is what we're seeing in so many different aspects. That's certainly not the way to get it done. But
I was just going to say the one thing that I hope that Trump would have done was right away, day one, start that wall or whatever it takes. But he sort of got caught off guard. And with all of these people coming, if he at least started it, that would have been great. Whatever the definition of a wall is.
Sure. But he has. You know, again, we've got the National Guard down on the border right now,
yes.
Helping to secure in lieu of,
yes.
You know, till we get some permanent fencing and the electronic mm-hmm. surveillance. But a lot of electronic surveillance down there now, a lot of fortification of old wall that was old fencing that was falling down, putting in roads. Because, you know, you can have a fence, but if you can't get to the fence because you don't have a road, then that doesn't make a lot of sense. So there's a lot to it. And the president, Homeland Security, is working very, very hard to make it such that we have a secure border. So it is good.
Yeah.
I appreciate you calling.
Mm-hmm. God bless you. Thank you.
Very much. Thank you so much. Again, lots of good calls tonight. And let's see if we've got another caller on the line. We appreciate all of the calls. Okay. Now, are you there? Are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, John. It's a privilege to speak with you. I'm a conservative. I'm a Christian. I hold Christian values like I know you do. And I know our Constitution was based upon the biblical truths of the Holy King James Bible. And I just wondered why we don't have legislation honoring those that more. You know, I live here in Carroll County. There's some schools here we can't even pass out Bibles to. And, and they say they can't let us pass them out, or they'll have to let Muslims and other religions in there. Our Constitution was based upon the biblical truths of a King James Bible, and why couldn't we have legislation honoring that?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of those things are such that the school system's out of fear, because groups will come in and sue them, and it costs them a lot of money to defend themselves. It's just easier for them to say no. You know, no groups, we're not going to deal with it. Again, that's just the easiest thing to do. Now, one thing you can do, and right now, when I go down and I visit some of my friends over in the House of Representatives, above the speaker's desk, I see a big old "In God We Trust," our national motto. When I go over to the Senate, I see the same thing. So, you know, there are things certainly that are very, very apparent that show that we are, you know, from a Judeo-Christian beginning.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know, the founders, because they escaped religious persecution, were very careful to make sure that they didn't get themselves in the same situation with the, you know, with the national government demanding that we be a certain religion. And so we've been blessed with having tremendous amount of religious freedom in the country. We need to keep that, and I think that's been a real, real strength of our country. So, you know, what you can do in your schools is post the "In God We Trust," the national motto.
Yeah, but our Constitution was based upon the biblical principles of the King James Bible. Why can't we get some things to honor that more? And another thing, when we get elected officials in there that's caught in this total bald-faced lies, why can't they be punished for that? And why can't they maybe be thrown out of office for that?
Sure.
Because they swear into an oath when they take office to do, you know, that they swear before God to do that.
Sure. Well, the in regard to, you know, the having laws or whatever, I think probably the thing that we need in our country more than anything is for people to live their faith and live the golden rule, you know, the do unto others, you know, the
yes.
idea of treating your neighbor as you would yourself. I'll tell you, if you know, a bunch of folks practice that, just that simple practice. I mean, these are just fundamental things. Probably too often we post things, you know, we put up this or that, but we're not living it. And so I think that's, you know, is probably the most important thing. In regard to the people that you know, are not in a situation, ideally, and you know, and you can be helpful, our listeners can be, you know, if you don't agree with somebody and you feel like they're not telling the truth and not doing a good job, then you need to work hard to vote them out of office. I mean, that really is the bottom line. And we're coming up on an election season, and, you know, this is a good time. As soon as the summer's over and we get done with Labor Day, then, you know, then we start thinking about the election. And I would really encourage all of our listeners to get out and vote however they feel, you know, whatever they feel like called concerning a particular candidate. But it is important that we participate. It is important that we vote and keep up with what people are doing. So it's great.
Yeah, I think a lot of them got out the last time, and I think they will this time. And, John, I want to add, I am for building the wall. $25 billion sounds like a lot of money, but if I think it would eliminate how much money are we spending now that ain't doing us no good. And I'm for building the wall and to keep our border safe. One more thing I'd like to ask is, our prisons is full. I live here in Carroll County. They turn people loose here because they don't have the places to send them. There's people that get sentenced to prison that they let them out until they get a bed for them. And they seem like the criminal these days have more rights than the victims do. Why can't we build some prisons, and not just in the state, but you know, the whole United States? Why can't we build some prisons that's self-supporting, let the people work, make little cities where they make money? You know, maybe agriculture or something like that, and the money go to the victims. And if they don't work, they don't eat. That's what the Bible says. If you don't work, you don't eat. Why can't we be stricter on the criminals? Because there's no punishment for criminals anymore.
Sure. Well, I think part of it is that we have a tendency to think short term. You know, the easiest thing to do is just, you know, somebody does something wrong, you put them in prison, and you essentially just warehouse them. And many of these people, you know, some of them are just evil people that you know, are just going to be in prison. But there are people there that, with some education, with some job training, some job skills and things like that, some encouragement, you know, not in there for violent crimes, things like that, that we could take and make it such that the reincarceration rate, you know, the people, the revolving door, I think we could do a much better job, you know, of actually rehabilitating some people, giving people a second chance. And as we were talking about earlier tonight, this is a great time to do that because we have such low unemployment. The job market is begging for people, and you know, let's do, you know, those that are deserving, you know, let's give them a second chance and try and give them some skills. And as you say, you know, get them back to work and make it such that they become productive citizens rather than getting out, getting in trouble. You know, the first thing that happens if you're sent to jail, generally, a lot of these folks have families. So not only are they going off to jail, but their families become destitute, and we have to take care of them. So that's not a good situation at all. It's not, certainly not good for, you know, when you look at it, for any part of that. So I appreciate your comments on that very much.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. Well, thanks for taking the time. Appreciate you.
I'm glad to be on the Republican side. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling. And again, good questions, good comments. Lots of good questions tonight. We're going to do one more question or comment. And so we're going to go to our next one now. It's really important, after we get done with this, don't hang up. If you'll stay on the line, it'll direct you so that you can leave a comment or a you know, a question, or if you got a problem, we will follow up and get in touch with you. Just tell us how to do that. So stay on the line after we get done. Leave a message, and then we'll go from there. Okay? Are you there? Are you there?
Well, Senator?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I was wondering what influence you have on the expansion of the Veterans Base Initiative for Small Business Administration and Women's Base expansion that within the state.
Expansion, Veteran Small Business?
Yeah, the Small Business Administration programs targeting
yes.
The veterans, the outreach centers. The closest one I've been working with is based out of Texas and also more out of Missouri. And finding veteran-based resources from the SBA is very limited in the state.
Tell me where you're located.
In Hardy, Arkansas.
Hardy, okay, very good. That's a neat little town. You know, I'm very active in those things. I'm on the Veterans Affairs Committee, and then I'm also on the Veterans Affairs Appropriations Committee. So what I'd like for you to do is I'm going to give you a number, and if you would call the office and give us the details about yourself and kind of your experience, I'd be glad to follow up and see if we can, kind of sort through the problems that you're having, see how we can rectify them and make it better in the state. That would be very helpful to us, and I think, you know, helpful to your fellow vets. What branch were you in?
I was in the National Guard.
Very good. Very good. So you in the Arkansas Guard? Or?
Yes, I was.
Great. Well, we appreciate your service very, very much. And let me give you this number. Okay, you ready? 479-725-0400. So 479-725-0400. Ask for Missy, okay? Tell her we talked, and just outline what's going on, and then she and I will visit and see how we can see if we can improve the service that is being done in Arkansas. Appreciate you bringing it up.
Well, I appreciate your time and effort. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling. Very, very much. Okay, thank all of you all for being on the phone and visiting with us tonight. I hope you've learned something. I've learned a lot, as we always do. Be sure, stay on as we hang up, and you'll get a prompt. If you've got any questions or comments, be sure and leave those. If there's anything we can help you with, be sure and describe that, and we'll be glad to follow up with you personally and kind of direct you to an office so that we can pursue that. So thanks again, and thanks for being a part of the Town Hall tonight. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.